Comedy Capers.
Another installment of Comedy Capers, and this time we dedicate our little frolic to those bright, courteous, and attentive little fellows in the monkey suits, bellhops. Courteous and attentive if you have a dime handy, and 100% more efficient if your tip happens to be 2 bits. We're all checked in, the rooms assigned, and right now our luggage is in the hands of the head bellhop and his 2 assistants, and they show us to our quarters with Honeymoon Hotel.
Celebration, to the jingle of a wedding bell, how about a little reservation at the Honeymoon Hotel? Oh, honeymoon is gonna be my hobby, don't you think a honeymoon is swell? Just wait until you walk into the lobby of the Honeymoon Hotel. Now Cupid is the night clerk, neath the stars above, he just loves his night work, and we just love to love. Oh, I'm a mister looking for a missus, as a missus you'll do very well. Bring along your things and all your kisses to the Honeymoon Hotel.
This must be the day for the visiting firemen, for into our lobby there comes gawking the first guest of the day, a big boy fresh from the hills, and from the looks of the argument he's giving the bellhop about surrendering his carpet bag, it's his first trip to the big city. Let's trail him up to the register and find out who he is. He signs the book with a big bold hand, and it's none other than Bob Burns, the original slow brain through Arkansas.
Hello, Tom. You know, Tom, it's a funny thing you talking about bellhops, because I used to be a bellhop in the Grand Hotel.
In the Grand Hotel?
Yeah, in Mulberry, Arkansas. You know, you'd be surprised, Tom, at what you can learn in a little hotel like that.
Well, what did you learn, for instance?
Well, it didn't take me long to learn that the couples with the lightest grips gave the biggest tip.
Uh-oh.
You know? And, you know, if a man looked like he was going to forget me, I'd just kind of lift the grip up and I'd say, you ain't got much in here, have you? And it's always good for a couple of bucks. You
know? Oh, I imagine you had a lot of experiences.
Yeah, one time an old man checked out of his room, but he came back about an hour later and he said he left his umbrella up in the room.
Yeah.
And I told him the room was already taken, but come on, I'd go up with him, see that he got his umbrella. Well, when we got to the door, you know, we heard voices in
there. Oh, I bet you and the old man listened, huh?
Yeah, we did. We heard a man's voice say, whose little blue eyes is those?
And
she says, yours.
Uh-huh.
Then he says, whose little turned up nosy pose is that?
Uh-huh.
And she says, yours. And he says, whose little shell-like ears are those? And she said, yours. Uh-huh. Just then the old man hollered. He says, hey, when you get to that umbrella, that's mine.
Did you ever have any excitement in the hotel?
I was just thinking, that's still good, ain't it, Tom, huh?
You know? Not bad, you can always depend on them, can't you? How about that excitement, though? Did you ever have
any? Yeah, you asked me if I had some excitement in the hotel, yeah. Well, I did. You know, one night some gangsters held up the night clerk and bound and gagged him, but I chased them away and I pulled the gag off the clerk's mouth.
Oh, well, you must have thought a lot of that clerk to risk your life like that.
No, I didn't, Tom. He's one of them fellas that just couldn't stand.
Well, if you didn't like him, why did you rush in and take the gag off of him?
Well, I reckon I'm just a natural-born radio comedian. I'll take a gag off of anybody.
Oh,
well, now.
You know, Tom, I steal Ed Wynn's gag so fast I can't tell whether the audience is laughing at me or still laughing at him.
Well, did they have many wild parties in that hotel?
Yeah, they had a lot of drinking parties there, but I never joined them on their drinking.
No,
parties.
But didn't it make you feel badly to see everybody else feeling good?
Yeah, but next morning I always felt a lot better than a lot of people that felt a lot better than I did the night before.
Yeah, I imagine you would. Well, why did you quit the hotel?
Well, they had an old army cook there, Tom. He wasn't any too clean. He used to cook ground round steak. He had more ground in it than steak.
Oh, now, you shouldn't talk about an old man who cooked to serve his country.
Well, Tom, it's all right for him to serve his country, but he don't have to serve it in the soup.
No. Well, Bob says that he likes hotels all right, but he never can get used to them lights they have in bottles. Well, there's something. There's a show troop in town, and the bellhops are looking them over carefully. Any bellhop will tell you that troopers are great spenders when they have it. Only they never have it. Up on the mezzanine, gathered around the piano, are three of the leading ladies getting up in a number that they're going to put in at the matinee, and the clerk tells us that they are the Rhythmettes, and the number is Who Walks In?
Jealous of you, oh, tell me who's a who that has me worrying too. Who walks in when I walk out? Who gives you that? Hi, baby, who's a who that has me jealous of you? Won't you tell me? Tell me anybody who walks in when I walk out? Don't you know you're my baby? Who's a who that has me worrying too? You've made me blue. When we kiss, I kind of miss that something that used to be. Every day when you're away, I get a feeling that you're fooling. Who walks in when I walk out? And who gives you that? Hi, baby. Who's a who? Come on and tell me. Who's a who's got me jealous of you?
Well, thank you. Thank you, girls. If that's a sample of what the show is like, me for the Opry House. Front, boy, ice water in 238. Ah, here's a bellhop. At whom there is none, Dan Hoomer. He took up hopping bells just for the opportunity that job afforded. Yes, sir. The opportunity to talk to the chambermaids. Here he comes with a pitcher in one hand and an itching palm in the other. Phil Kramer, the big dame hunter. Hello, Phil. You know, our topic tonight is bellhops, but tell me, were you ever really a bellhop?
Sure, I worked in the swellest hotel. I liked it so much, I moved in, even though they charged $40 a day with lockers free.
What's that? $40 a day with lockers free? Do you mean to tell me you moved into a $40 room?
No, I moved into the locker.
Yeah, you would.
In this hotel, you step in the elevator, and the elevator doesn't move.
The elevator doesn't move? Then how do you get to your floor?
The hotel moves up and down.
Uh-oh. Well, tell me, Phil, did any of the guests ever send for you?
Oh, yeah. One woman complained to me once that there were mice in her room.
Well, I suppose you brought her a mousetrap.
No, Tom, we didn't have any mousetraps.
No mousetraps? Well, no. What did you do about the mice in the woman's room?
Oh, we rented her the cat for 60 cents an hour.
By the way, Phil, what was all the excitement outside the studio a little while ago?
Oh, my girl Billy fell out of the car and broke her peninsula.
What do you mean she broke her peninsula?
You know, a long neck stretching out to sea.
Oh, I see. Well, did you ever have dinner up at Billy's house?
You bet, and the folks served me scotch turkey.
You say they served you scotch turkey. What's that?
A frankfurter with a feather.
Oh, I get it. Well, by the way, Phil, how old is your girlfriend, Billy?
Well, I don't know, but to give you an idea, I went to a birthday party last week, and I felt so warm from the candles on the cake, I had to go home for my Palm Beach suit.
Oh, boy, that must have been a lot of candles. Do you get a lot of pleasure going around with Billy?
Yeah, high blood pleasure.
Oh, is that so? And I suppose you drive her around in your car? What kind of a car do you own, Phil?
Oh, I have a foreign car.
What do you mean, a foreign car?
Four in the front and four in the back.
Sort of a buzz, huh? Confidentially, Phil. Do you ever try to kiss her?
Sure. What have I got to lose?
Well, what does she say about it?
She says, if you try to kiss me, I'll put you in your place.
And what do you answer her?
I say, never mind, I'll find the place myself.
Well, I know, but tell me, Bill, does she take advantage of outdoor sports?
You mean me?
Oh, no, I mean swimming, fishing, hunting, and so on.
Oh, sure, we go hunting a lot. We hunt for roaches.
You hunt for roaches?
Yeah, ferocious tigers, ferocious lions.
Oh, I see. Does Billy ever inspire you to write poetry?
You bet. Here's a little poem I wrote about her. Listen. I sip nectar from her ruby lips as in the car we sat, and I wondered if any other guy ever drank from a mug like that.
Say, that's all right. But are you taking her to the ball game this Sunday?
Sure, and we're going to watch the game through a peephole.
Oh, you're going to take her to the ball game, and you're going to watch the game through a peephole? Why, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Phil, watching a game through a peephole.
Well, Abraham Lincoln believed in it.
Abraham Lincoln believed in what?
But don't you remember when he said, of the peephole, by the peephole, and for the peephole?
That was Phil Kramer, the big dame hunter, and does he get them? Ferocious, foreign, and so forth. Oh, boy. It's time now to dim the lights in the lobby. The porter rolls back the rugs for his nightly session with a mop. The clerk checks his calls for the morning. And three drowsy bellhops, better known as the Varsity Three, close this edition of Comedy Capers with their popular theme song, Take It, Boys.
How about a little celebration? To the jingle of a wedding bell. How about a little reservation at the honeymoon hotel? Oh, honeymoon is gonna be marvy. Don't you think the honeymoon is swell? Just wait until you walk into the lobby of the honeymoon hotel. Now Cupid is the night clerk, neath the stars above. He just loves his night work, and we just love to love. Oh, I'm a mister looking for a missus. As a missus, you'll do very well. Bring along your things and all your kisses to the honeymoon hotel.
And so we leave you for a little while. This is Tom Poe saying, over the river, and remember that glass house gag is all right, but hotel walls have ears and winchels.